Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Amazon's holiday deals are here, so you can celebrate the season early. With low prices on decor, electronics, and beauty. Perfect for stocking stuffers. And my stocking's looking good. Shop holiday deals early on Amazon now.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance as you immerse yourself into the world of June's Journey, a hidden object mystery mobile game that puts your detective skills to the test. Play as June Parker and investigate beautifully detailed scenes of the 1920s whilst uncovering the mystery of her sister's murder. With hundreds of mind-teasing puzzles, the next clue is always within reach. Engage your sense of observation to find hidden clues. Each chapter uncovers a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles for you to solve. It's June's job to discover the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. Mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? Build your very own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. Chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. You'll even get the chance to play in a detective league to put your skills to the test. I'm already to chapter 81, where the power goes out. The whole imposter storyline is kind of my favorite right now. And luckily, I can play anywhere. Occasionally, I like to play at the food hall while I'm waiting for my meal to come out. The old cars, the rooftop scenes, the 1920s is so immersive in this game. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Segment that just means more. A look around the SEC
on College Football Game Time.
Welcome in College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, Abe Gordon here in the Kia Studios. It is the segment that means more. We're talking some SEC football. Lots of big games. Two big, big games. One is our College Football Game Time game of the week. The Georgia Bulldogs going on the road. They are going to be taking on the number 16 Ole Miss Rebels, 3:30 on ABC. We'll talk to Brandon Adams. He's heading west down I-20 trying to get over there to Oxford, Mississippi. We'll catch up with him. That is our big game of the week, too. So we're going to be talking about that one at 9:40 as well. So lots of dog talk coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. So stick around for that later on in the program. The Alabama Crimson Tide and the LSU Tigers, that's the other big marquee matchup, two top 15 teams in the SEC. They are playing in an elimination game. We will talk about that one here in about 5 minutes or so. But, Abe Gordon, we got to start right here. The Florida Gators, they're on the road at Texas, number 5 team in the land, 12 o'clock on ABC. Let's not bury the lead. The biggest story about that game is off the field. It's Billy Napier. He has announced that he is going to be retaining his job earlier in the week. That might or might not have changed yesterday based off of some comments you made to me. But let's just roll through with what we've seen from Billy Napier on the field. Good decision, bad decision, indifferent? What do you think?
Yeah, indifferent. I think there's a couple of things at play here. First off, you're playing right now with a third-string quarterback. Maybe DJ Lagway returns a little bit later in the season. I don't think it'll be today, even though he's still not technically ruled out. You make this decision now because it's going to get bad. Mm-hmm. The season's going to get worse. You got Texas. I don't remember the exact order. You got Texas. You got LSU. You got Ole Miss, right? It's going to get bad. I think you understand that. And so you make the announcement now to keep those distractions of, well, he looked bad in this game. Is this the one that caused him? You remove all of that. I think that's part of it. Let's not pretend like the $26 million buyout, which would be really 40 for the entire staff, is also part of it. This would have been the second largest buyout in college football history. So, well, paid.
Except people forget about Jimbo.
The Jimbo one's out there.
$76 million.
This would have been number two, though.
That's an albatross.
And then how about this, Garrett? I don't know when the last time this happened. I'm sure someone else did the research, and obviously it's not official.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the first year in how long that the SEC has no coaching turnover? Think about it. Sam Pittman might keep his job. Clark Lee is going to keep his job. Shane Beamer's done a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're firing Venables or Hugh Freeze, like, they may not have any replaced coaches this year.
Well, if Auburn continues to scuffle, I would not be
I'm not saying it's a lock.
No.
Because Sam Pittman hasn't officially,
Venables is probably the guy, I would say.
Maybe.
Sam Pittman.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
But it sounds like they're trending towards him getting another year. Yeah. I mean, you may have a whole year with no SEC turnover. I also think you're in a weird situation where I don't think there's a lot of, like, red-hot coaches to go after.
Yeah. I mean, plus, this is also extremely important for Billy Napier in terms of recruiting.
And then there was the other thing I know you and I talked about in our podcast, College Football Overtime. You could find that anywhere you get your podcasts, also on YouTube, and we stream it on Twitch every once in a while, too. There's a lot of money tied up in freshman and sophomore with the NIL. This is a situation where they say they are here to grow with Billy Napier. A lot of that's based on DJ Lagway as well. And they want to give him an opportunity to grow with this squad.
Yeah, 70% of Florida's NIL money is tied up in that freshman sophomore class.
But Texas is going to roll today to answer whatever question you didn't ask me about the game.
Yeah, I was going to get to the game here in a second. But no.
I addressed it. It's over. We're done. We're done here.
I do want to pay off a tease from earlier in the show. You look at the losses that Florida has this year. The combined record of those teams, 28-3.
Sure. I mean,
look, their losses and they've looked better down the stretch.
It's a combination of disappointing games like Miami, but like also frustrating against Tennessee that you don't go for two and go for the win.
Yeah.
Frustrating last week against Georgia that your quarterback gets hurt and you really are deprived of an opportunity to compete in that game. It hasn't been as bad probably as it looks, but it also hasn't been good either.
No, and look, Billy Napier's 15-18 as the head coach of the Florida Gators. I expect that he'll add a couple more losses when it's all said and done. Whether or not it's a good decision, bad decision, or indifferent, the rest of the season will tell us a lot. Let's see if DJ Lagway can go. He is a game-time decision in this one, and if he doesn't go, then bless your heart. That's going to be kind of an ugly game potentially there for the Florida Gators. Lots of that offense hinges on the health and status of DJ Lagway. South Carolina at Vanderbilt, 4:15 on SEC Network. Vanderbilt, I was actually a little surprised that they weren't in the top 25 when the College Football Playoff unveiled that. South Carolina, another team that could be on the outside, just outside of that top 25. They had a huge win last week against Texas A&M. Now they go on the road to go play those vaunted Vanderbilt Commodores. What are your thoughts on this one, Abe?
Yeah, South Carolina really seems to have found themselves. You remember last year when Alabama wasn't doing much the first 6 weeks, and then they kind of figured out what they wanted to do with Jalen Milroe, and they just kind of took off. I'm not saying that South Carolina this year is last year's Alabama, but it does feel like they've kind of figured out who they are, what they can do, especially on offense. You pair that with what they bring along the defensive line, in my opinion, the best in the SEC, although I know Ole Miss maybe makes some claims to that as well. They're playing their brand of ball. And one of the other concerns is Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Peavia. He's now embroiled in this lawsuit against the NCAA. I don't like it. It's a distraction. Mm-hmm. I understand the premise behind it. Focus on the season. And it feels like that's maybe not number one priority right now. South Carolina is going to be tough. This should be a good game.
Yeah, I'm actually, this is definitely worthy of a second TV type of
Raheem
game.
Raheem Sanders finally got going.
Rocket Sanders is huge, man. If he can, if he can keep rolling down the stretch.
Because Sellers is playing a good brand of ball.
Lenore Sellers.
And then you got the defense.
He was my shout out to a standout.
Yeah.
Look, if you get into a passing situation, if they can get a lead, they can bend their ears back.
Yeah, yeah.
And they can get after the quarterback better than anybody in college, better than just about anybody in college football. Mississippi State and Tennessee. They are squaring off 7 o'clock on ESPN. Can Tennessee avoid some of these slow starts that they've been having in recent weeks? It's been kind of tough for Tennessee after that really hot start. They have not looked the same on offense at all.
Yeah, and they need to get going. They need to use this game as a launch point because they got Georgia next week. And so this is about getting a couple things right heading into that week.
Yeah, and if you have SEC play, there is nobody better than Mississippi State. They are, but Mississippi State could score. They've held, they've hung around with teams. You talk about players and coaches who are buying into some of the hype. Jeff Lebby, 2-7 record, 0-5 in the SEC, but they have looked a little bit better in some of those losses. Oklahoma at Missouri, 7:45. That's on SEC Network. I don't know why Missouri is ranked.
Yeah, I don't either, especially as it continues to trend that Brady Cook is not going to play in this game. And if he's out, it's going to be tough. We've seen a complete drop-off offensively without him.
Yeah, I mean, he played through an ankle injury, 21-17.
Jackson Arnold looked okay last week.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't say good. I said okay.
All right. Yeah, this is the...
That's
the,
all I get?
This is... Yeah, that's all they're... That's
fair
all
enough.
They, that's all they deserve. Oklahoma and Missouri have two of the disappointing teams in SEC play. Oklahoma's 1-4. Welcome to the SEC, my friends. Missouri, 2-2 in conference. They're scuffling, and they've played some of their worst football as of late. That Auburn win was ugly, but Nate Noel, I mean, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. That's derailed their season, injuries and injuries and more injuries. But our big game in the SEC outside of our college football game time, game of the week, the Dogs and Ole Mississippi, 3:30 on ABC, that one. Alabama and LSU, that's the nightcap, 7:30 on ABC. This is going to be a really fun game. College football playoff elimination game, Abe.
Boy, it really is. The winner's going to have a tough time still fighting for an at-large. The loser's going to have a tough time fighting for an at-large. The winner might be sitting a little bit prettier after this one.
Mm-hmm.
Look, LSU is coming off of a bye week. You got Brian Kelly there. They're at home at night. They got a lot of things, intangibles off the field in their favor. But what on the field is in their favor? I think it's an interesting matchup between the LSU receivers and the Alabama DBs. Mm-hmm. Alabama secondary is good, not as good as it's been in recent years. And I think that might prove to be their iceberg on the Titanic this season, at least in this game. The other issue for Alabama is they've got to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They have got to run the ball. And right now, it doesn't look like Jalen Milroe's doing that. LSU has given some real issues with running quarterbacks in the past. Jalen Milroe is going to have to run the ball because I don't really trust their running backs to go off. I know you have talked about that a little bit as well. I don't really trust Caden Durham for LSU either to dominate this game. It's going to be very, very interesting. And I mentioned this off week. It's the first time in how long that we have to question whether LSU has a coaching advantage in this game. We never did that with Nick Saban.
Who has
obviously
the coaching advantage?
Because of experience in big games, and not to say that he hasn't coached big games in the Pac-12, but because of experience in big games, both at Notre Dame and the SEC, I'd say Brian Kelly.
Yeah. You don't have to set the precursor. It's Brian Kelly.
Fair enough. Yeah.
He's probably the most disrespected coach in the SEC. And it's likely because he coached at Notre Dame for all those years, and people down south don't tend to care too much for that team and the Fighting Irish up there in South Bend. But look, Brian Kelly's a damn good coach. He's a damn good coach, and I think he is a clear advantage. He's also playing at home out of a bye week. This is a Kalen DeBoer prove-it game, in my opinion, for that team, for that program. You know, they've looked bad on the road. Bad on the road. They had that game against Wisconsin. Great. Tyler Van Dyke also was knocked out of that game on their first drive. You know, and maybe things change up a little bit, but that was also out of conference. In conference, they have the road loss against Vanderbilt. They have the road loss against Tennessee. And I'm looking at that Tennessee game in particular because Jalen Milroe and that offense, they were rattled in that game. And I mean, look, most people would be in a hostile road environment up there at Tennessee. But Baton Rouge is going to be a bunch of drunk Cajuns screaming and yelling. There's a tiger on the sideline. It's going to be an insane environment.
I don't think
they're ready for it.
I had a weird theory this week that it wasn't going to be a real tiger, but Tiger Woods was going to show up. Because they kind of were so like tricky with the wording about it being a tiger. They're like a live tiger. I'm like, all right, like is this a cat or Tiger Woods showing up? I didn't know what was going on. Marcel Reed ran for 3 touchdowns last week against LSU. Jalen Milroe last season, 155, 4 touchdowns against LSU. He has got to use his legs. And then can Alabama replicate whatever it was that Texas A&M did in the second half last week? They held LSU to just, 6 or 7 points in the second half after giving up 17 first half points.
Yeah, I know we talked a little bit about what Alabama was against Missouri. I'm still not super convinced that that was the game that turned their season around. They win that one 34-0.
But no Brady Cook. We talked about that.
Yeah, it was 13-0 at halftime. Missouri is a shell of its former self. You're playing at home. That game proved nothing to me. Sorry. Because Missouri is not a legitimate opponent without Brady Cook, without Nate Noel in the backfield. That's not a legitimate top 20 game.
The only thing I mentioned to you is maybe it was a confidence thing. Maybe they've got a little bit of confidence and swagger back from seeing themselves in the lead and comfortably, but who knows if that carries to tonight.
We'll see.
But tough environment.
The difference is that game was at home. This one's on the road. This one has everything on the line. It's a classic matchup between LSU and Alabama. We'll make our picks for that one coming up here at the bottom or the top of the hour. We will get to that in just a moment. But we got to talk some dogs. Brandon Adams of Dog Nation. He'll be joining us on the wait4.com hotline. Coming up next, this is College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Amazon's holiday deals are here, so you can celebrate the season early. With low prices on decor, electronics, and beauty. Perfect for stocking stuffers. And my stocking's looking good. Shop holiday deals early on Amazon now.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance as you immerse yourself into the world of June's Journey, a hidden object mystery mobile game that puts your detective skills to the test. Play as June Parker and investigate beautifully detailed scenes of the 1920s whilst uncovering the mystery of her sister's murder. With hundreds of mind-teasing puzzles, the next clue is always within reach. Engage your sense of observation to find hidden clues. Each chapter uncovers a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles for you to solve. It's June's job to discover the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. Mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? Build your very own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. Chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. You'll even get the chance to play in a detective league to put your skills to the test. I'm already to chapter 81, where the power goes out. The whole imposter storyline is kind of my favorite right now. And luckily, I can play anywhere. Occasionally, I like to play at the food hall while I'm waiting for my meal to come out. The old cars, the rooftop scenes, the 1920s is so immersive in this game. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh, no.
Your cold is coming. Your cold is coming.
Thanks, Revere. I really should keep Zicam in the house.
Only if you want to shorten your cold. Ha!
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL, all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to join today. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All the latest breaking news on the college football scene. This is College Football Game Time. College Football Game Time is presented by Dos Equis. Go for Dos on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in. College football game time. Let's head west to Oxford, Mississippi, like we do every week, to catch up with Brennan Adams, host of Dog Nation Daily, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. B.A., I know the big storyline over the last, well, let's say 2 football weeks plus a bye week is the play of Carson Beck. He has 6 interceptions over the course of those 2 games. He's got 11 interceptions over the course of his last 5 games. Now they go on the road to go play a potent offense with Jackson Dart and everybody at the Ole Miss, with the Ole Miss Rebels. Is this game as simple as Carson Beck playing a clean football game for the Dogs?
Well, certainly any chance that Georgia has to win the game is certainly increased if Beck plays turnover-free. And obviously, as you said, every Georgia fan's kind of looking in on this to see if this is the moment where, you know, that sort of happens. So, I mean, no doubt, like, whatever the storyline is for UGA is going to sort of begin and to a certain extent end with, you know, what you get from Carson Beck. It's not the only thing happening here today. I mean, Georgia's obviously had its struggles with the running game, and Ole Miss clearly has a very good defensive front. That's where a lot of their NIL dollars have gone. So, I mean, it's not the only storyline, of course, but it is certainly the prominent and prevailing narrative, I would say.
B.A., Georgia watched Carson Beck turn the ball over a number of times against Texas, but came out with still a commanding victory, and a lot of that was built on the backs of a defense that would not let the Longhorns move the ball. It's a little bit different. Jackson Dart's playing at a higher level than Quinn Ewers is playing at. They got a couple of receivers that really do scare you, depending on whether you believe the 50-person-long injury report or not. What's the defensive focus for Georgia today? Is it keeping Jackson Dart from using his legs? Is it keeping the receivers in front of you? Getting after the quarterback? I think there's a lot of interesting facets to this one defensively.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the tone should be similar if you're Georgia in that, you know, defense kind of led the way in the win against Texas. I think you sort of hope that's true again today. You know, the mitigating factor is, obviously, Dart is a lot more of an accomplished runner than Quinn Ewers is. And some of the Steve Sarkisian plays, a little slow developing. I think that Georgia thought it had a chance to get to Ewers. That's one of the reasons why they dialed up the pressure as much as they did. Obviously, in the case of Dart, it's a little bit more about keeping him contained. And, of course, the first half against Alabama, another running quarterback, Jalen Milroe, Georgia didn't do that very well at all. But I do think pretty quietly this Georgia defense is kind of rounding into form here, and I think it's becoming, you know, pretty good. ESPN FPI has it ranked number 5, for instance, right now. And conversely, while Ole Miss can certainly do some things offensively, and they just absolutely obliterated Arkansas last week, the truth is that's the only SEC opponent this season that Ole Miss has scored 30 points on, that they've been held below 30 in every other conference game this year other than like the 60-whatever they put on Arkansas last week. So, you know, maybe the Arkansas game is a sign that this, you know, Ole Miss team is really coming into its form and going to be, you know, an offensive juggernaut the rest of the way. Or maybe that was just sort of a weird outlier catching a team that was obviously not prepared for what the Rebels were going to do. I have a tendency to think it's probably a little bit of the latter. I do expect this to be a good Georgia defensive performance. I think, you know, the overall, if you care about lines and things like that, I think the under is probably, you know, a direction I would look here on this today. I think both these defenses want to kind of rule the day here. So, I mean, that to me is the tone I expect this game to take.
B.A., you talk about betting lines. I'm going to talk about defensive lines. Jalen Walker, Mykael Williams, they shredded Texas. I mean, now we're going to look at this Jackson Dart-led offense. They do allow a lot of sacks in the games that they lose. It's 10, I think it's 10 sacks in their 2 losses. That is a huge, huge marker for me. And it tells me that Jalen Walker, Mykael Williams are the key to Georgia winning this game on the defensive side.
Yeah, and it goes back to, you know, a thing that we've, you know, kind of seen Georgia have conflict with before of, okay, well, if you go after the running quarterback and if you sack him, that's obviously great. But what happens if you don't get to him? What happens then? And that's, you know, sort of a challenge that you know, that, to go back to the Alabama game that Georgia kind of dealt with there of when you don't get to him, you create running lanes, and that turns into an explosive play. And, you know, I do think that Georgia wants to obviously sack the quarterback and get pressure on the quarterback, but I don't think they want to sacrifice big plays in doing so. And so that's going to be the sort of coaching conflict I think the Georgia coaches probably find themselves in here today.
Brandon Adams with Dog Nation Daily, joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. B.A., You know, I was at the cocktail party a week ago, and I thought Georgia started out offensively with an interesting plan, a lot of short passes, a lot of screen plays. I would imagine today, and maybe that was to protect Carson Beck, maybe that's something they saw in the Florida defensive front. I would imagine today with the Ole Miss defensive front to try and slow down some of their pass rush, some of their attack from the defensive line. Maybe we see a lot of that again, little screen plays and short passes and all that stuff.
That's kind of what I'm expecting. I'm sort of thinking this could be a little bit of a safer game plan. You know, Carson clearly doesn't have a lot of confidence right now. So doing something to build that up, I think that the kind of safer targets might be what they do.
So I want to look at the injury report that Ole Miss put out.
We don't have time for all of it, Garrett.
I know. It's extensive. I think it was like 26 players or something ridiculous. Is this as simple as the SEC just – well, excuse me, is this as simple as Lane Kiffin trying to show up the SEC? I know they have this, the injury, the faking injury thing that Ole Miss has been noted to be taking advantage of. Is this just Lane Kiffin saying, if I can't fake the injury, if I can't fake it on the field, then I'm just going to fake an injury report? Am I oversimplifying this? All right, I think we lost Brandon Adams. He's going to be coming back with us here in just a moment.
I was getting ready to dump some more on Lane Kiffin, though, too.
B.A., you back with us?
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, you're all good. All good. So I was talking about – so Lane Kiffin just brought out that injury report. Is it as simple as him just kind of showing up the SEC with an injury report?
This is what I thought more coaches might do. You know, Bill Belichick did a lot of that, where kind of flood the zone with injury information as a way of – you know, kind of concealing what you don't want to be known. But the truth is, most coaches haven't done that. And I sort of thought a lot of coaches would do a little bit more like what it appears Kiffin did this past week.
Let's talk about Lane Kiffin here, because this is a coach that is, what, 0 top 5 wins, 7-9 against ranked teams while at Ole Miss. This is an opportunity for the biggest win of his coaching career, I would argue, at least as a head coach. Is that how you're viewing this, as a milestone game, a statement game for him with that program?
Yeah, I definitely think it is. He hasn't really gotten the signature win yet as a coach, and this would certainly provide that. And if you don't get this moment in your own stadium, you know, I think if he doesn't do it now, when's he ever going to do it? I think that's kind of an overstated narrative sometimes, especially in college football. It feels like we do that a lot. But I think there is an element of truth to, well, gosh, you know, this is the game in your stadium. It's a 12-team playoff. There was a really interesting story from a writer named Pete Nakos from On3 this week about how the Georgia loss a year ago really galvanized Ole Miss. You know, like the one thing that Lane Kiffin is really good at, I'm not the biggest Kiffin fan, to be completely honest, but the one thing that he is really good at is he's really raised a lot of money for NIL at Ole Miss. I mean, people know that, you know, Ole Miss is not one of the larger programs in the SEC. You know, the state of Mississippi is not very populous. It's split among two SEC teams. So you're talking about a smaller fan base. You're talking about a little bit less history. I don't mean that in any way disparaging him. I think even Ole Miss fans themselves acknowledge that there's a little bit of a uphill challenge competing against certain teams in the SEC. But when it comes to what they've done raising money from an NIL standpoint, they have definitely punched above their weight class. They have really invested. And there was an interesting story this week about how that Georgia game a year ago was sort of the reminder of, you know, because they got blown out, they got beat 50-something 17 or whatever, that if you want to compete at the highest level, you have got to have the kind of players to give you a chance to do that. So they spent big on transfers. Everybody's obviously spent most of the offseason talking about that. A lot of those guys are on defense. And so it's set up for them today. They're, you know, playing better after a couple of losses. It's a chance for Lane Kiffin to sort of demonstrate that he is a coach in the same category of the other top coach that we speak about in this sport. And if it doesn't happen for him, then you do just sort of wonder, well, is all he ever going to be is the sort of social media character, the you know, famous last name, you know, the guy that you know, obviously, you know, generates a lot of attention, but not really generating much in the way of big wins. I think it's a huge game for Georgia for obvious reasons. I think on the Ole Miss side, there's a lot of, you know, as you're touching on, a lot of storyline going on right there too.
B.A., I know there's a lot of places we could go injury-wise for Georgia, but I'm really focused right now on Mr. ETN. Limited with that game against the Florida Gators. How we feel he's going to be back today, and how close to 100% could he be?
Well, you know, we talked about a moment ago the gamesmanship on the Ole Miss side when it comes to the availability report, you know, kind of flooding everything on there. You know, we have not really seen ETN, right? You know, it certainly was not on the first Wednesday availability report that comes out. And so I think the thought here is, you know, based on that and based on what Kirby Smart said, that he is going to be out there and trying to give it a go. Now, sometimes we, you know, are told the guys are healthy, but when you see him in action, you find out, well, maybe not quite 100%. But I think the hope is that ETN can be a big part of this Georgia offense today, and the rib injury has subsided enough for him to be able to do that. Clearly for a Georgia team that has just, you know, kind of had its struggles with the running game and, you know, frankly, just needs, as we were talking about earlier, just needs some easier plays offensively one way or another. You know, a guy like ETN as a pass-catching threat or as a running back, I mean, that's a pretty important offensive weapon for Georgia today. I think the thought process is right now that he'll be able to play.
BA, finishing up here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Brandon Adams, Dog Nation Daily. I do want to talk about this Ole Miss defensive front here, too, because they are the best in college football with 41 sacks on the season. They're led by Perkins and Princely. And I wonder, Georgia's been pretty solid at stopping opposing pass rushers, but do you think this is a game where, I mean, and Carson Beck, I mean, if he does get hit, we've seen some of the issues start to flare up. Do you see this Ole Miss pass rush really causing problems for Georgia, or do you think that they're going to be able to contain this group?
I mean, I think that if something does cause Georgia a very significant problem today, that's what it's most likely to be. I mean, I think this is the best defensive front that Georgia's faced all season. I mentioned before that, you know, Ole Miss is not, you know, one of the bigger programs in the SEC, but if you look at their defensive line, I think it's better than Texas is right now. I think it's better than Alabama's is right now. I know Tennessee coming in next week feels like they've got a good group, but so far this is, I think, the best that Georgia's seen. And, you know, Walter Nolan may be among the very best defensive players in the entire, you know, conference overall. So I think that Georgia may have to do from a game plan standpoint today a little bit like what teams often do when they play Georgia, which is, you know, if you want to mitigate against the pass rush, you may have to get rid of it pretty quick. And you may have to try to get the ball out of the middle of the field as a way of just going away from what the strength of the Ole Miss, you know, defense is. Now, I'm obviously not a play caller. Maybe Georgia's got something completely different in mind. But when I close my eyes and just sort of picture, you know, what that looks like, you know, all that strength, all of that size, you know, right there in the middle of the field, you know, what can you do to get rid of it quick, get away from that, and give your guys a chance to play in space? And, oh, yeah, by the way, also you get the challenge of, you know, how do you run the ball in a situation like that? Because that's not been easy for Georgia anyway, and it's really not going to be easier against Ole Miss here today.
B.A., final question here. Lane Kiffin was crying about this one not being a night game. I say you got an opportunity to have a night game in Death Valley. I think we're all going to take that. Alabama and LSU tonight. What are your thoughts on that game?
You know, I'm leaning Bama here in this spot for two reasons. I mean, you know, I like Garrett Nussmeier a lot, but the truth is Jalen Milroe's probably had the better overall season. When you combine his rushing and his passing, his yards per attempt numbers better than what Nussmeier's has been, too. He's also got experience. He's been in the college football playoff. You know, conversely, you know, Brian Kelly, you talked about, you know, sort of an absence of big wins for Lane Kiffin. The truth is, other than, what, an overtime win against Alabama in 2022, since being at LSU, you know, Kelly doesn't quite have that real big win yet. And Kalen DeBoer, a much less experienced coach, you know, he won the Pac-12 last year. He beat Oregon a couple of times. Beat Oregon three times in total while he was there. You know, beat Texas in the playoff. That, I think you've got a playoff experience head coach in Milroe and a college football playoff experience quarterback in DeBoer. You know, DeBoer and Milroe both experienced in the playoffs, what I mean. And going into Death Valley, a place that Alabama as a program has won before, that's sort of what I expect Bama to do again tonight.
Brandon Adams, thanks so much. Enjoy the game tonight.
Good to be with you guys.
Brandon Adams joins us every single Saturday on the WayFour.com hotline. Talking some dogs, and we'll continue talking some dogs on the other side. It's our college football game time game of the week. Plus, we got some picks for you. So stick around right here, college football game time. Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Taking a look at today's biggest matchup. It's the college football game of the week
on college football game time.
Welcome into College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's jump right into our College Football Game Time Game of the Week. Big thank you to Brennan Adams of Dog Nation joining us there on the other side. He's fantastic, gives us great stuff every single week. So big thank you to BA. But let's keep talking some dogs. Abe Gordon, what do you say? We got the Dogs and the Ole Miss Rebels, 3:30 on ABC. I know that Lane Kiffin was complaining that this game wasn't going to be happening at night. I know if you're the Georgia Bulldogs, you're probably pretty happy that it's not happening at night. But ultimately, I think this game comes down to the play of Carson Beck. He's had consecutive three-interception games. Can he put these behind him? I want to talk about specifically, what does it take for him to put it behind it? Is it simply as just him not forcing footballs, Abe?
Yeah, I think that's a good portion of it. I mean, we talked about it with BA. Like, last week against Florida, they were trying to protect him, it felt like, early on. And the offense was working to an extent. It got shut down a little bit in the red zone, and you had to settle for a field goal. But it felt like the first opportunity he had to unleash and look downfield, he threw a bad interception. He threw it another one, a couple series after that. And so, yeah, it goes into why is he seeing what he's seeing, or is it not about a vision? Is it about him trying to prove something with his arm? I don't really have an answer, Garrett, but I think it would be wise for Georgia to call safe plays in the moment and see if they can snap him out of that. Take chances when there are chances, but be prepared to check down or throw it away. I feel like sometimes, and this is not even Carson Beck specific, I think this is a lot of quarterbacks that are supposed to have big arms, supposed to be top prospects, they want big plays, man. Yeah. Like, and there are play calls designed to hit. But that guy's not always open down the field or in the middle of the field. And you can't just throw it there because you think it can hit, you think you can find it. And there might be a little bit of that. There's no doubt about it, especially, and I think even more so because of what Ole Miss can do up front defensively.
Yeah.
That you might look for early screen plays and short passes to try and slow down their pass rush and see if you can maybe open things up later in the game. I don't know if you're coming out looking deep early on.
Yeah.
You got to see if the defense of yours can get a handle on Jackson Dart. Because if you can lean on them the way you did, like last year, if you remember, didn't matter what Georgia did offensively. They were going to win this game because the defense absolutely hammered the Ole Miss offense. They could not move the ball after their first drive or two.
Yeah.
I think you look to do that again today. If you can win it on defense, win it on defense.
Yeah, it's huge. And ultimately, if you can win it on defense, it would help if you're opposing, well, if your starting quarterback doesn't throw multiple interceptions. He's got 11 interceptions in his last five games. That's as many interceptions as he had in his first 17 games as a starter. And, I mean, it's just, you need to see some more from your starting quarterback. And that's just that simple. And one of the biggest ways that they can help him, you know, run the football. You know, I've never seen somebody throw an interception while running the football. In six SEC contests, the Dogs are next to last in the SEC in yards per rush. It's 3.31, and the Bulldogs have thrown it in SEC high 232 times. Trevor Etienne, I mean, he's a little questionable coming into this game. I don't know if he's going to be able to play. He's dealing with a rib injury. He should play. He should play, but his health is something that's going to be something. It's going to be something to watch in this game. He's averaging 5.1 yards per carry, Abe. It's just he's not getting the rock. He's only carried it 89 times this season.
I've been surprised the majority of this year that he hasn't been a bigger, significant, true like RB1 for them. And part of that potentially could be, hey, we're looking at 17 or 18 games here. Maybe we're trying to spread it out a little bit longer
maybe
than we would.
Maybe it is
that simple. Maybe it is. But at the same time, you would have thought that in those games that really matter, you do see him tote it 25, 30 times as need be. And we haven't really seen that yet either.
Yeah, and look, this is going to be a tough one here for Trevor Etienne and this rushing attack. Nate Frazier, Branson Robinson, all these other guys in that backfield. Because this Ole Miss bunch, they're only allowing 82 yards per game on the ground.
Yeah, I think the way if you watch Thursday Night Football, you saw Chase Brown out of the backfield with short catches as a substitute for the run game for Joe Burrow and the Bengals. I wouldn't be surprised if you see that again. ETN's got a great pair of hands. He's dangerous with the ball in his hands. Same thing with Nate Frazier. I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, screen passes, whether it's to Dylan Bell or Arian Smith, but also to the backs, short checkdowns, can substitute as a run game. I mean, Garrett, we saw Tom Brady do it for 15 years with no real run game. It was the short passes and dump offs were the run game. Might play in their favor today, and that also doubles up to help protect Carson Beck from making a mistake down the field.
Yeah, and if this offensive line can hold up against Perkins and Princely, 41 sacks is the most in FBS for Ole Miss. This defense, the secondary can get got. They can get got. They're allowing 234 yards.
The Ole Miss passing. Secondary.
The Ole Miss secondary.
Yeah,
they're in the 90s in FBS. They've also allowed 31 passes of 20 yards or more, which is ninth worst in all of college football. If Carson Beck can stay clean in the pocket, stay clean as far as making sure he throws it to the right team and the right colored jersey, that secondary is there to be had for Georgia today.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You got to get guys down the field. You got to get guys open. And again, it to me, it all goes back to that short pass game. If you can start to work that early, you got guys cheating up, being a little more aggressive on the ball. If the offensive line, as you pointed out, holds up, you got double moves, you got pump fakes, you got all sorts of things that can get the ball down the field. The biggest thing of interest to me is what can the Georgia defense do that makes it look like it did last year? Because they absolutely shut down Jackson Dart a year ago. He wasn't really able to run. They hit him a ton. And he wasn't able to extend the ball down the field with his arm either. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that again. It feels like Ole Miss is working at a little bit higher level than they have in recent years. But we've said it before. Like, look at their offensive performance in SEC games. With the exception of what happened against Arkansas, against the better defenses, South Carolina, Kentucky, LSU, some of these were in wins, they didn't crack 30. Well, Georgia scored 30 or more in every game since that Kentucky one-point win.
Feels like a magic number.
That to me is the magic number. If Georgia can reach 30, they ought to win this game based on Ole Miss's offensive output in other games against good defenses. Georgia's defense should hold them below 30. Georgia's offense can get to 30. Done deal. For that to happen, though, you got to make Ole Miss work for the scores. How do you do that? Don't turn the ball over. Don't give them short fields. That's the only way Florida was in this game a week ago against Georgia. Was turnovers and easy scoring drives, short fields. Don't do that against Ole Miss. Make them work hard, max effort on scoring drives, and I think you're in good shape.
Yeah, and it's also the fact that I just don't think that Ole Miss is going to be able to drive. It's not that they're not going to be able to. I don't think they want to drive the ball down the field. Avoid
they're big plays.
They're big plays. That's what they want to do. They want to pop off. And
three touchdowns to 60-plus last week for Jordan Watkins.
That's what they want. That's what they want to do. That's exactly it. And Jackson Dart, there's a reason he leads the top passing offense in college football. I mean, these guys like to go off, and they got four wide receivers who can do it on any given week. We mentioned Jordan Watkins in my shout-out to a standout. He's coming off a game where he set program records for receiving yards, 254, and he got touchdowns in five. You got Trey Harris, who leads the SEC in receiving despite having not played for 3 weeks, Abe Gordon. He's been unbelievable. He's listed as doubtful for Saturday, missed the last two games, plus that bye week. Jordan Watkins also listed as doubtful for the game coming up on coming up later on this afternoon. Caden Lee, he's listed as questionable. He's your second leading receiver. And then you have that number four. Oh, it's just Juice Wells. I don't know if these guys are going to be able to go. We won't know until 90 minutes before kickoff. It just depends on how much you actually buy what Lane Kiffin's putting down in that injury report. But outside of that, Henry Parrish, he's the running back. He's listed as out.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of injuries. You buy it.
It also goes back to how Georgia looked against Texas. Like, it didn't matter who the receivers were against Texas because the quarterback didn't have time.
Yes.
You can throw all the names you want at me, and trust me, I understand how good those guys are.
Very good.
But if you can get to Jackson Dart and don't let things develop down the field, then the big plays aren't going to be there to be had. And I think that's what we saw from Mykel Williams and Jalen Walker in previous games. I think we need to see that again from them today. And then the other question for me is Lane Kiffin. Is he ready for this moment? Because you know Kirby Smart. Look, Kirby Smart started working immediately after that win over Florida. He spoke to his team about being better and picking up Carson Beck and all this stuff. And I saw a video from outside the practice facility of Kirby Smart getting his after his guys midweek as well. And they're going to be ready for this game.
They're going to be ready to go. I know Georgia's just going to be ready for it. Lane Kiffin.
And we've seen them perform well on the road in that Texas game. Maybe not as much in Alabama, but, you know.
Well, I mean, depends on which half you look at.
Right.
But Lane Kiffin, 7-9 against top 25 opponents, has zero top five wins. This is a marquee moment for Lane. And, I mean, if he doesn't get it done here, if it doesn't get it done this season, there's a legitimate question after the investment that Ole Miss has made into this team that whether or not he ever gets it done at Ole Miss. And I don't necessarily, whether that's fair or not is not the question. It's, you know, I mean, you have a very large investment that's been made into Ole Miss. And if you have three losses before you even get to the Egg Bowl, that's going to be kind of a tough sell for Lane Kiffin moving on into the future as far as all that's concerned. But enough discussion of the game. Let's get to our picks. It's Pick and Poker on College Football Game Time.
It's time for the guys to put it all on the line as they give you their picks of the week.
Brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this football season at mancavestore.com.
It's a jam-packed week on the College Football Game Time Pick and Poker segment. We're doing pretty well, Abe. I'm 10-0 in our last 2 weeks, so I know that now that I've mentioned it and said it out loud, I'm probably going to go like 2-3 or something this week, but I'm leading the pack right now 37-13. All of that can change very quickly. Abe, you're sitting there at 34-16 in second place. Miss Noel, she's running the board, and she's also running the show 32-18. That is her record. She was 4-1 last week. And both our guys in the second half of the show, Chris and John, they're 4-1, both of them last week, 31-19 right there. So we're all of us are doing pretty well, I will say, all five of us. Our games for this week, we're going to pick the Dogs and Ole Miss, 3:30 on ABC, Colorado and Texas Tech, Alabama and LSU, BYU and Utah in the Holy War, and then, of course, our wild card. Abe Gordon, you're up first. What do you got?
Yeah, Georgia at Ole Miss, 3:30 on ABC. I think the Dogs get it done in this one. A big win for Kirby Smart on the road. Number 20, Colorado at Texas Tech. Nice win for Texas Tech a week ago, but I think Colorado gets it done today. That's 4 o'clock on Fox. 7:30 on ABC, Alabama at LSU. Give me Alabama. Maybe this is the week Jalen Milroe can find his legs again. And the Holy War, number 9, BYU at Utah. 10:15, late night action on ESPN. I'm going to take BYU. I know a lot of people feel it's dangerous. I think BYU wins this and wins it comfortably. In my wild card game, I'm going to take Duke. A lot of people are down on them. I don't know why. Tough game against Miami. This is still a pretty good team. Give me Duke to beat NC State.
Yeah, the Fighting Manny Diaz squads, man. That's a team that's gone up and down. They had a big performance last week against Miami. Couldn't hold on. Fourth quarter was ugly. Let's see if they rebound in that one. That's a good one right there. I'm actually going to concur with you very similarly. The Dogs and Ole Miss, I think this is Lane Kiffin versus Kirby Smart, and I think it's that simple. Kirby Smart's the better coach. Kirby Smart's ready. They're going to be more ready to go in this game, and I think the Dogs are going to roll. But don't be surprised if Ole Miss holds up their end of the bargain. This isn't going to be a blowout. This is going to be a tight contest here in Oxford. Next one up there, Colorado at Texas Tech. I flip-flopped on this one. I had Taj Brooks and Texas Tech at first. I had them rolling, but I just think that Colorado's playing their best brand of football right now. I think they're bought into Deion Sanders and that whole process. I think they're going to be the crashers to the college football playoff when it's all said and done. They're going to go get a win on the road at Texas Tech. Keep your eye on that game, though. That's going to be a very interesting one. Alabama and LSU down there on the Bayou. Give me the Bayou Bengals. I think the home team. I just think the home stadium is going to be too much for Alabama. Alabama plays very poorly on the road. They've shown it time and time again this season in SEC play. They lost to Vanderbilt, they lost to Tennessee, and I think they lose to the LSU Tigers. 7:30 on ABC. BYU and Utah, that's the Holy War, 10:15 on ESPN. I got BYU. I think they just continue to roll, but Utah is a pretty big landmine, and would not be surprised if they cause some problems for BYU, but I think BYU is rolling. They're playing really good football, and they turn the ball over, or they force turnovers better than anybody in college football, and Utah turns the ball over way too much for me to be comfortable. I'm going to keep it out there in the Big 12 for my wild card pick. Arizona State, that's talk about crashers in the Big 12 conference. I think they get a win over UCF. I think they're 2-point favorites in that one. That should be a really good football game. Gus Malzahn and the Golden Knights looking to become bowl eligible, but I don't think they do it against Arizona State. They get a win in that one. Abe Gordon, been a lot of fun, man. First 2 hours down. Next 2 hours coming up next. Chris Goforth, John Fricke. They'll join you from the Northern Kia Studios. College football game time rolls on. Sports Radio, 92 on the game.
Amazon's holiday deals are here, so you can celebrate the season early. Woo! With low prices on decor, electronics, and beauty. Perfect for stocking stuffers. Woo! And my stocking's looking good. Shop holiday deals early on Amazon now.
Everyone loves a good family mystery, especially one with as many twists and turns as June's Journey. Step into the role of June Parker and search for hidden clues to uncover the mystery of her sister's murder. Escape to a bygone age of mystery, danger, and romance as you immerse yourself into the world of June's Journey, a hidden object mystery mobile game that puts your detective skills to the test. Play as June Parker and investigate beautifully detailed scenes of the 1920s whilst uncovering the mystery of her sister's murder. With hundreds of mind-teasing puzzles, the next clue is always within reach. Engage your sense of observation to find hidden clues. Each chapter uncovers a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles for you to solve. It's June's job to discover the truth behind the unexplained death of her sister. Mystery, danger, and romance. Where will each new chapter take you? Build your very own island estate with expansive gardens and beautiful buildings. Chat and play with or against other players by joining a detective club. You'll even get the chance to play in a detective league to put your skills to the test. I'm already to chapter 81, where the power goes out. The whole imposter storyline is kind of my favorite right now. And luckily, I can play anywhere. Occasionally, I like to play at the food hall while I'm waiting for my meal to come out. The old cars, the rooftop scenes, the 1920s is so immersive in this game. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
When you feel a cold coming, shorten it with Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand.
Oh no.
Your cold is coming! Your cold is coming!
Thanks, Revere. I really should keep Zicam in the house.
Only if you want to shorten your cold. Ha!
Take it from America's most revered messenger. Shorten your cold at the first sign with cold shortening products from Zicam, the number one cold shortening brand. Available in stores or see where to buy at Zicam.com.
Get ready to tackle the NFL action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. The FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL, all in one place. So when you get a hunch in the middle of the game, you can check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to join today. You'll get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. That's FanDuel.com/sportsfan. Never waste a hunch and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.